Our theme for today is Exodus, the journey to freedom. Before I go into the message, I want to thank the leadership here for allowing my wife and I to minister like we do. We have Shirley, my wife, me, John. Make sure that's right. We have a ministry called Voice of Life Ministries, and many of you know that, and we've been privileged to travel the world and share the gospel. Just got back from the Philippines, and you were praying and covering us, and prayers and support mean so much to us. We were there 21 days. I preached more times than we were there in the days, and I never lost my voice. Had a sound mind, never had a headache. Hey, that's something. And woke up strong because you prayed, because you covered us, and that's so important in life. Everywhere we went, there were confirmation of things that God had done last year or even 5 years ago. We did a youth camp with over 300 registered young people, and out of that we baptized 25 in the little lake. God was very faithful, and those 300 young people, they were on fire for God, and I see them raised, coming forth in the Philippines as leaders. That's what I see in this church. That's what I see with the youth of today. You've tried it all. Now it's time to come forth. I believe God is going to call you forth to take back our nation. Come on, you can help me preach this morning. Hallelujah. You can help me. You can say amen. Glory to God. Ouch. You can say those three things. Oh, me. Hallelujah. To those of you watching online, the Lord bless you. We also have on the YouVersion of your phone, the events, go to the more and then go to the events, and you'll find, and go to First Church of the Open Bible, you'll find a brief outline of what I put together, which is way too many pages. And you'll, thank you Pastor Mark for putting that on, because I'm not very good at outlining and doing that type of thing. I just like to get up here and open my mouth and say things maybe I shouldn't, but really, I'll try to follow the outline as the Holy Spirit leads. How's that? But today I want to talk about the Christian today. In the U.S. today, the Christians of today. Exodus means a mass departure of people, a large number of people, or the liberation of people. And today, we are living in the United States of America with a mass, large number of people who are bound up, who are not free, that God wants to set free. And he wants to use those who understand who he is. When I did some research, it says that 63% of Americans say they are Christian, but it's only because of the religion that they belong to or denomination they belong to. And, they're bound up. They have sins and habits, and they don't know how to get free. They have no personal relationship with the Lord. And when I studied it, way down, the percentage, the people that have a biblical worldview, there's only between 6 and 7% of, out of those 63% or 210 million people in the U.S. that say they are Christians, only 6 to 7% have a biblical worldview or a relationship with the Lord and understand what season we are in. And the number is going down, not up. But I believe the church of today, if we will arise, if we will allow God to use us, that maybe somehow, by the grace of God, we can turn that number around Because someone said it's just like all of a sudden we're going over a cliff and we won't be there no more. But I find that hard to believe. If we will stand up for the Bible, stand up for the truth of God's word, I believe that we will exist. So thank you for coming out. Thank you for those who are listening. Everyone that's involved in making it possible for us as believers to come together to worship the Lord. You know, God has made a way for you and me to be free. He's made a way for those people that we talked about to be free. We're bound up. Even some of us here today are bound up with things that we've carried all of our lives. And God is calling his church out today. I really believe that. So we're going to go to our first scripture in 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 17 and 18. The Lord led me to this. He said, therefore come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which is powerful, which changes lives. Today we're asking, Lord, that you will open our spirit to receive what you have for us, to show us what we can do or what we need to do. We also come in agreement with the other prayers made this morning about your children, Israel, and that nation, Lord, that you would watch over that nation and that you would show your mighty hand to the enemies in the days to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. If we back up a few verses, it talks about that we are the temple of the living God. And how can God and idols mix, or how can the believing and the unbelieving mix, or how can God and the devil be together? They can't. And the church of today, I hate to say, has really backed away, has allowed a lot of things to take place. We're in trouble. Not we, the church is in trouble. Prayerfully, we, First Open Bible Church of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, can make a little bit of difference, hallelujah, maybe a big difference. And as we go and preach the word throughout the nations, you guys are all a part of that. So Voice of Life and Open Bible Ministries, we're joined together because we go and preach the word and we preach the truth. And I talk about things that they don't talk about, like abortion, that it's not right, that it's against God's commandments, and the church today is accepting that. I talk about the LGBTQ movement, which everybody is saying it's okay, you know, just let them be. But it's an abomination in the eyes of the Lord our God, and he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that. So wherever I go, I preach against it because it's God's word. Come out from among them and be separate. There has to be a separation. That's why God looked at the children of Israel. They were slaves. They were in bondage. But he said, I have to remove them out of their bondage. And so that's why we have the book of Exodus. Here God's showing us a plan for his chosen people. Hallelujah. You know he has a plan for you. You are his chosen people. He has a plan for all of us. And so here they are. They have a slave master, Pharaoh. He doesn't like it that they groan and cry, but, you know, they groaned and cried because of the severe enslavement, the work they had to do, and something happened. Their voices went all the way to the throne room, and God heard, he says, God heard their cry, saw their groanings. He visited them. And then he said, I remember. I remember the covenant that I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, God makes covenants. He doesn't break them like we do. We break covenants. But God never breaks one of his covenants. That's why today Israel is going to survive. Are you hearing me? That's why Israel is going to win in the end. Because God has made a covenant with them. He hasn't forgotten that covenant. He hasn't replaced them with us. We don't believe in the replacement theology that is taught in many of the mainline churches, that the Jews, you know, don't understand Jesus, and so now we as Gentiles, we're the chosen ones. That's false teaching. God is always going to stand by Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, God is moving for you and me because he made a new covenant. Hallelujah, with Jesus Christ. This covenant that is made is open for everyone, the Jew and the Gentile alike, for everyone that asks, cries out for help. Everyone that wants to be set free, Jesus has made a new covenant with us. Hallelujah. And we don't have to sacrifice animals. We don't have to go through rituals to be a part of this new covenant. We have to believe in our heart. We have to ask God to forgive us of our sins and let him then lead our lives. And see, this is what so many people don't do. They believe in God. Of the percentage of the 200 million so-called people that said they love Christ or they are Christians, a lot of them believe there's a God. A lot of them go to church, pay their tithes, give in the offerings, yeah. But they never pray the prayer. We need to pray the prayer, people. Amen. We need to have our heart changed. That's right. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. So in this book of Exodus, the journey to freedom, God chooses Moses to lead his people out, right? He uses Moses to help him keep his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the New Testament, he sent his son Jesus, hallelujah, and made a new covenant with us so that we could be free. I have in my outline the importance of one man. Throughout history, God has called one man or one woman to lead in his plans. If you look at history, you can see many of them, and I want to just talk about Abraham and Sarah, how he used them, how he used Noah to build an ark, and how he used Joseph, and then how he used Moses, Joshua, and Paul in the New Testament. These are one man or one individual that God used, inspired to do his work. He's still doing that today. In our lifetime, I'm thinking of Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, maybe, Jimmy Swaggart. And in this church, Pastor Gale had a vision for this church. And then comes a guy by the name Pastor Stevens. And he carries on that vision. And we're still going today because these men had a call of God on their lives. And they knew they wanted to implement that call of God so that you could be set free as well. And in my lifetime, my father-in-law, Pastor Grimm, was a mentor for me when I was a young pastor. And another man named D.L. Browning, who put me in the ministry. 6 o'clock Sunday morning, he'd call me up. Are you in bed? No. I'm studying. Good boy. Good boy. You better be doing that. So he never let me back up at all. He pushed me. And sometimes some of you need to be pushed to get into the ministry and the call that God has on your life. So now we go to Moses. God chooses Moses to help lead his people out of bondage. So let's talk about Moses for a few moments. One of the most prominent figures Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'll get there. One of the most prominent figures in the Old Testament was Abraham, the father of faith. But then when you look at Moses, he's called the Redeemer of God's chosen people. And a kind of a type and a shadow of Jesus, if you study his life and the life of Jesus. When you study the life of Moses, it's like his life is divided into three 40-year segments. At 40 years of age, he found out that Pharaoh of Egypt was not the place he needed to be. He'd killed a man. He thought he was a prince. He was a prince. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was adopted son-in-law of Pharaoh. He was a man of action, but he also had a temper. He would probably went to the gym every day and exercised. He was a strong man. But he had a hot temper, and he was prone to rash judgment. So that was the first 40 years of his life. So now that he's killed somebody and Pharaoh knows it and wants to kill him, he exits out of Egypt or out of Pharaoh's house and goes to the land of Midian. In those 40 years, Moses is learning how to be meek and humble, how to be a husband, how to be a father and a shepherd. And Moses doesn't realize it, but God is preparing him for the last 40 years of his life. So now when we come into this story, we're coming into the last 40 years of his life. Moses is 80 years old now, and God is calling Moses, hallelujah, to be a shepherd, a true shepherd, to lead his people from freedom. You know, sometimes when we're in the valley, we don't realize what God is doing. When we're going through a hard time, you know, we want to blame God or we want to blame someone else. But really, if we acknowledge it, God is preparing us usually for something greater. And this is where we find Moses now. So we go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. It says, one day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go and see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses replied, here I am. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians, to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, all the Ites live there. Woo. Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And there we see God calling Moses. Moses uses one man. I was talking earlier about one man, the importance of one man or the importance of one woman. And God is calling Moses, but here we see Moses is not ready. He hears the call from God, but he is not prepared. He doesn't understand God, really doesn't understand his power. or in his authority. Why is that? Because, and I want you to catch this, if you remember nothing else this morning, he never stood in the presence of God before. You see, when we come into the presence of God and we stand in the presence of God, it doesn't matter what happened 40 years ago, 80 years ago. When we stand in the presence of God, God changes our past. And God cleanses us from sin, from mistakes. See, Moses tried to rescue his people, but his timing was wrong because he did it and did not follow God. See, when we follow the call of God, then we can be successful. If we go ahead of the call of God, we usually fail. And we need to remember that. That's a very important thing when we acknowledge that God is calling us to do something. In the burning bush, there's God. God calls, "Moses, Moses," and he says, "Here I am." And now that Moses is in a place of renewal, it's where he listens. When we stand in the presence of the Almighty God, and God is renewing our spirit and renewing our life, we need to learn to listen. Because this is where things really change. God is saying, "Take off your sandals. You are in the holy place." Moses hid his face. He wasn't that bold, strong Moses anymore. God had tempered him down or taught him some things. Here now he's timid and afraid to stand in the presence of an Almighty God, which we should all be. He's not the same proud man he was earlier because God prepared him in the land of Midian. But Moses is on holy ground. See, it's on the holy place of God where we're washed, we're cleansed. Hallelujah. Again, we all need to come into the very presence of God and stay in the presence of God and stand in the presence of God long enough that we are changed. Amen. That God can do something supernatural for us. Verse 10, God says to Moses, "Come now, therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people out." But Moses said to God, verse 11, "Who am I that I should go?" See, he has lost his identity. Moses doesn't really know who he is. Am I an Egyptian? A prince? Or am I a Hebrew? Am I a shepherd? What am I? Or where do I fit in? You know, especially me. Look at my past. Look at my background. Look at the things that have happened. Where do you fit in? And God, you want to use me? And can you imagine what's going through Moses' head? What's going through your minds today? And God, you want to use me? And the answer is yes. I want to use you because you are important to the kingdom of God. Now, God is saying to Moses, "I want you to redeem my children of Israel out of Egypt." See, Moses had a good heart. He wanted to save his people. But he failed because he acted without God, like I talked earlier. But now, Moses is face to face with God. And God is saying, "I want you." And the next verse, "And I will certainly be with you." The beginning of that next verse. "I will be with you. I want you. I want you to lead my people. and I will be with you. I remember God speaking to Joshua in Joshua 1, verse 9. It says, Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a word that my wife and I listen to and take to heart every time we go on a mission. If he commands us to go, and if he says go, then we have nothing to be afraid of, because the Lord says, I will be with you, hallelujah, wherever you go. And we've been to some of the farthest, darkest corners of the earth. My wife was saying one of the places we went in the Philippines, up in the mountains and at the end of the road, and we say this must be the far ends of the earth that God was talking about. But you know what? Those people loved the Lord there. They came out. They worshiped the Lord, and they received the altar call. See, Moses now receives his identity. He had lost his identity. Now his conversation with God, in the presence of God, and God is speaking and he's listening. Now Moses has his identity. God says, I've chosen you as a leader. You are going to redeem my people. I will go with you. See, from birth, you know the story of Moses. Pastor had it last week. From birth, his mother saw that he was important. He was called as a child to be a leader. He was called to work for the Lord and lead thousands, millions of people out of bondage. See, God plans all of that. He plans for you and me also to do something. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. And he's already redeemed us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. He has redeemed us and forgiven us before we even ask for it. You're quiet. But see, he's called you and me so that we can, in essence, duplicate what Moses did. What did Moses do? He led millions of people out of bondage by the hand of God. And he's calling you and me to get in the place where we hear God speak in his presence, where he cleanses us and washes us and then gives us our identity. Now you go. Matthew 28:19, they don't have that up there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation, every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. You say, well, how can I go? What if they don't believe me, Moses is saying? What if they don't believe me? What shall I say? You know, and he makes some excuses that God doesn't hear excuses. Did you know that? I've tried it. Don't work. And God says in Exodus 3:13-15, Hallelujah. See, Moses protested, if I go, the people of Israel, and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. God says, go. He doesn't say, what if? God says, go. Be obedient. And then God will do the rest. That's what we found out in our travels. Sometimes it's scary to think about going certain places. But when you have a peace inside and you know that God is going to be with you, then we go. Well, what if? What if? That's human nature. But what if? God doesn't want you to say that. He just wants you to be obedient. He just say, go. Hallelujah. I am that I am. I am that I am. See, the Israelites believed in God and they even worshiped him, but they lost faith in God that he could deliver them out of bondage. And this is where many of us are today. No. We believe God, we worship God, but we have things in our life. Something is passed on from generation to generation, something that somebody has said or put on us. We worship you, God, but I think I'm going to go to the grave with this problem. You're quiet. God wants to show up. He wants to make himself real to you. Hallelujah. He wants you to take a step of faith. There's three things that when we get to the plagues, there's three things that God was showing and shows us here that he gave Moses authority over Pharaoh. When he went to Pharaoh, he had God's authority. Number two, he wanted to show the children of Israel that he was the God of deliverance. Hallelujah. He was alive. He was worthy to be worshipped. And the number three is showing the Egyptians that their gods were nothing. Their gods were nothing. See, today, many people believe that the gods have a lot of authority. And don't make light, not to make light of it, Satan has power. But not as much power as our God. Not authority. And so we go out proclaiming the name of Jesus. We go out saying, thus saith the Lord. The leading of the Holy Spirit on you, Pastor. The Lord just spoke to me. He says that you will be the redeemer for the people in this city. And for the next few years, the Lord says, many will exit out of their bondage because of your leadership. And God says, I've called you. Hallelujah. This is what I do, and I know some of you think I'm crazy, but that's okay. I'm crazy for Jesus. Hallelujah. This man here, this couple here, God has redeemed them from so many things, brought you out. And calling you a leader today. That as a man in your home, you're taking up special authority over things of the past that have tried to suck you down and kill you. The Lord says, no more. You're a leader. Hallelujah. Receive that anointing, both of you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here's this crazy preacher coming to you. Son, son, I see your heart. I picked you.
Okay.
The Lord says, son, your heart is pure. And even though you have been attacked and people have done and said things to you, they are not true. Because I, the Lord, hung on that cross for you to set you free. And to bring you to that place where nothing of the past can control you or hold you down, but that you will be totally free to enter into all the best that I have prepared for you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And you're standing with him?
Yes, sir.
All right. The same goes for you, daughter. Hallelujah. The Lord says he loves you, cares for you, and you're very special to him. And your prayers have reached the throne room, says the Lord, and I've heard your cry. So today, when you leave, things are going to begin to straighten up and things are going to become new. The old things are passed away, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that as you go forth. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I've got to come to this man. Oh, hallelujah. God is saying that you were born a leader and the enemy tried to kill you, but you're here today because you haven't given up. And the Lord is showing you a new way. Ooh, I see you running, brother. I see you running, and you're just leading people by hundreds. The Lord says, you have been chosen, son. You have been chosen. Come out of the things. Come out of those old things. Be set free from all of those negative things. And come forth as a leader I've called you to be from birth. And I will go with you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's an anointing that's being released upon your life, son. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. This your son? Who's this young man here? Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you will touch this young man and instill your spirit in him. And let him feel your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. To know that you are God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The young people are important. What do you think? You afraid? God loves all of you. You're so special. And God, I'm going to talk to all of you. God is saying, pick up the mantle that you have on your lives and take it to your friends. Don't ever be ashamed to say, I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. And God will honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. This is what I do all over the nation, so you can call me crazy, whatever. But I go to the nations of the world and, Moses, I got to stop here. This guy's Moses right here. He's just a young Moses. Hasn't been through the first 40 years of his life yet. Right? But God has a special call on you, Moses. It's not necessarily like the one we're talking about in the Bible. But when you walk into a room, the glory of God enters with you. The Lord's showing me that you are a light. You don't even realize it. But when you walk into a room, you change the atmosphere of that room. And God is going to begin to show you that more and more, that he has called you with a special anointing. And he began to teach you. Some of it you won't like, but God loves you and cares for you. Just listen to him. Stand in his presence in the name of Jesus, anointed Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Well, I got to come back here. Sorry. There's something that's taking place in the spirit realm that the both of you have been praying for years and years, and nothing has changed. And today the Lord says, I'm moving that obstacle. I'm moving that obstacle. So we just begin to praise the Lord for that. I don't know what it is. He hasn't revealed that to me. But God is doing a work. We're grateful. So get your faith up. Walk in that. Operate in that. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, the back row is not exempt. Woo. Wow, I see a man with his hands extended. And I see a man that has a voice. And I see a call of God almost like the man we were talking about. That you have been called to deliver people from what you used to be bound up yourself. You have been called to set people free, and the gifts and anointing will come forth, says the Lord, as you walk in this call that I've called you to walk in. And I see miracles. I see people raised from the gutter. I see people, lives, after they reach Christ, you won't even recognize them anymore. The Lord says, I'm setting you up. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Just receive that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I got to stop here. You look really important to me in the eyes of the kingdom, and you don't even know it. Fact is, probably been running from it a little bit, but that's okay, because God doesn't care where you were yesterday. You're here today, and there's still a plan for your life, a good and great plan for your life. And if you'll hear what he's saying to you, that you are very special, that he's not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. But he loves you a lot, and you're very important to the kingdom of God. And if you will listen, there will be some things that turn around and change for your life. And it's more satisfaction when you go to sleep. All right, Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Not gotten to the plagues yet, but the plagues, God is showing his power to the gods of the Egypt. Plus, he's trying to convince Pharaoh to let his people go. And if you know the story, the first 9 plagues didn't really move Pharaoh too much. The last 3 kind of moved him. He said, okay, I'll let my people go. But then he hardened his heart, and he wouldn't let them go. So with that, we'll go on doing what I'm doing. Bless you. There's a couple. Hallelujah. I see a very important role that is being brought out into the open for the 2 of you to walk in. I don't know what that means, but the Lord said something good is coming, and it's going to be a joy just to walk in the goodness of God, just to feel that all of those years serving him is being rewarded, being faithful. God hasn't forgotten your prayers. God hasn't forgotten what you've done, how you've given. Nobody knows. He does. And he remembers. So I see a time of laughter, joy, almost like dancing in his presence coming into your lives. And probably because it's an answer to prayer that he'd been praying. Okay. So Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I always stop there, but I came here because God says there's more to come. You've kind of been in limbo. You want to go. You want to do things. Seems like doors have been closed. The Lord says, I'm opening a new door. And you'll be able to walk through that. And when you walk through that, all of a sudden, all of the, I don't know, what would you say? All of the times of feeling unsettled is going to be gone. And you're going to say, wow, this is what God has called me for. And as you do that, God's going to really move you. And you're going to see signs and wonders. God's hand will come forth through your hands. Receive that word in the name of Jesus. Both of you, not just him, both of you. Right? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, stop me. Just thank you for all your years of service for this church, for the kingdom of God. The 2 of you have sacrificed and sacrificed. Nobody here knows how much they've sacrificed except the Lord himself. And we just honor faithful servants of the kingdom of God. Taking a vision and carrying that through until the Lord lets you release it. That is honorable. God bless you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Whew. I can't get through here, but I'm going to come to this couple. This man, I know the Lord had a word for you before, but the Lord says it's still not fulfilled. It is coming forth even in the days that I speak, says the Lord, that you will enter into the ministry. It's almost like a silent ministry, but your voice will be heard. And people will look to you and gravitate to you and say, how can you help me? I need help. And the Lord said, I'm opening people's spirits so that when you step into this realm, that they will come to you. And I will show you, son, I will speak to you to how to minister to them. And to my daughter, the Lord says, daughter, it is just a new day dawning. That which has happened in the past is being, it's like it's almost nothing compared to what is coming for the days to come. The doors are open, wide open for you to teach and preach my words, says the Lord. And you will set many, many people free as you share your testimony with them. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just got to come in here because it's not over yet. This is what the Lord is saying. It's not over yet. The doors are still open. And the doors have not closed. And the Lord says, that which has been prophesied over you from before will come to pass even in the days to come. So do not look that way, but look to me, says the Lord, and trust me. Hallelujah. Bless you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. How about you? Hallelujah. Lord loves you so much. I see a plan being drawn out on a map. And God says, son, here's where you're going to go, and here's where you're going to go. And I'm opening ways for you. Things that you thought were finished, over, done with. The enemy lied to you and said, it's not possible for me to do what I felt was my dream. But God is saying, your dream came from me. And so what you have desired, even though it hasn't worked out exactly like you thought, the Lord is saying, if you will trust me, it will be fulfilled. And all of the negative things of the past are gone. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Bless you. Thank you, Lord. We'll talk about the plagues for about 3 minutes. I have a whole 2-3 pages for it, but I will be kind. In Exodus 5:2, so Moses goes to Pharaoh. I didn't get that in my notes, so it won't be up on there unless they're real quick. Exodus 5:2. Moses goes to Pharaoh, let my people go. They're God's chosen people. I want to let them, take them away 3 days' journey to worship me. You know the story if you read it. But Pharaoh responds here in Exodus 5 and verse 2. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. That was his statement. What did God say to Moses? Go get my people, set my people free. He goes before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, I will not let my people go. They are in bondage, but God wants to set them free. So the plagues begin. There's 10 plagues. I'm going to go over the first 5, first 9 very quickly. Frogs, the Nile turned to blood. My wife and I were on the Nile, the lower Nile, a couple of years ago in Africa. I would never thought I'd be on the Nile, but it was quite an experience. Hippos everywhere and alligators and crocodiles. So. But 7 days the Nile was bloody and it killed all the fish. Then the frogs came from the Nile. And the frogs were considered sacred to the Egyptians. They had a god for that frog. And then when Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, when do you want me to have the frogs leave? He says, tomorrow. And we have many messages. One more night with the frogs. The third one is gnats or lice. Next one is flies, only on the Egyptians, not on the Israelites. the death of livestock. Only the Egyptians' livestock died, not the Israelites' livestock. Boils, only on the Egyptians. Hail, only in Egypt, not where the Israelites lived. The hail was so severe, and thundering and rain. And I believe the thunder scared them so bad, they wanted the thunder to quit. They pleaded with him, have the thunder stop. You ever hear the thunder really loud and you're underneath it? It really does scare you. Well, that went on for days. And the hail was so large, it killed anybody, anything in its way. Broke the trees to the ground. Locusts, they ate up whatever was left. Whatever had escaped the hail and the fire. Also fire came, which I believe was lightning that came with that thunder. And they didn't have an eclipse, but it was dark for 3 days. So dark, it says that you could feel the darkness. You ever been in a dark where there's no light, and it can just scare you. You don't know where you're at. And 3 days of total darkness, pitch black. But the children of Israel had light. You believe God loves them? You believe God can love you and make a way for you? And I want to close with the 10th one. In the last three, God tells Moses, these signs are a testimony of who I am. Tell them to your grandchildren. Tell your kids, your grandchildren, what I, the Lord, have done. Let it be a memorial, something that you repeat over and over. Because God is showing his power like there's never been before. So when we talk about that and you see what Israel is going through today, do you have any doubt that God can rescue them? No. What will he do? We don't know. But we know that he's made a covenant. He's made a covenant with them. And he keeps his covenant. They had a God for every one of these plagues. Two or three gods. One of those gods was called Isis, the gods of sun, gods of the sky, the gods of children. They had God for hundreds and hundreds of gods for every plague that was given. These gods were shown that the Lord Almighty was greater than they were. But in the 10th one, and Brent, will you come? Worship team, will you come? I'll talk about this for the next couple of minutes. In the 10th plague, it was the death of the firstborn males. Not only of the Egyptians this time, but also of the Israelites. God is putting a word out there. I need you to obey this. If you want to live and not die, if you want your family to live and not die. He's calling actually the leaders of the home, the husbands, which we need today, right? We need the husbands, the men, to stand up and take leadership. He's saying to the leader of the household, this is what you must do. In the 10th plague, see, God is requiring action and faith from the Egyptians. From the Israelites. The Egyptians don't believe that God's going to kill them. But God is saying to the Israelites, you've escaped all the other plagues because you identify with me. But this one is going to take faith and action on your part. And when we go to the scripture verse in Exodus chapter 12, there's two verses there, 22 and 23. They were supposed to take an unblemished male, a year old, and sacrifice it. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, go, pick out a lamb. I must have something wrong. I think the other verse is the one I wanted. Pick out a lamb, young goat for each of your families, and slaughter the Passover animal. Verse 22. drain the blood into a basin, then take a bundle of hyssop branches, dip it in the blood, brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses, and no one may go out through the door until morning. Because when, verse 23, for the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians, but when he sees the blood on the top and the sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. The only protection was the blood. If they didn't obey, somebody died. But if they obeyed and did what God said, they lived. And God worked a miracle for them. The only protection that we still have today is the blood. If you don't, I want to cry, because so many people don't understand this. The only protection that you will have when you die is if you've applied the blood to your heart and to your life and to everything that you are and everything that you do. If you don't apply the blood, you will go to a place that we call hell that is full of fire and brimstone. Jesus shed his blood. He is our Passover. He shed his blood for you and me. Hallelujah. When we apply this blood to our hearts, we get to live with him in eternity. Hallelujah. We get to live in bliss with the Lord for all eternity. So I'm asking you, as you all stand and Brent begins to sing, have you applied the blood today? Are you playing church? Are you just coming to church because it feels good? It checks off one of your, you know, requirements to be a Christian, which is great. We're glad you're coming. But have you really applied the blood of the Lamb? Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. He hung on that cross. His blood was shed upon Calvary, ran down into the ground. And now the Lord is saying to you and me, you don't have to make those sacrifices. You don't have to do those rituals. You don't have to kill an animal. All you have to do is accept me. The Lord is saying, accept Jesus as your Savior. Confess your sins. Believe and apply that blood to the very life source that you are. And you will live and not die. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? As the Holy Spirit leads, and we have prayer groups today, I don't know, but as the Holy Spirit leads, you say, I need to do something I've never done. I need to change my life. I need to apply that blood. I want you to make a beeline for the altar. Don't be ashamed, because it's going to be your life. It's going to be health to you. So as they do it, as the Holy Spirit leads, you say, well, I accepted the Lord, but I've been running. I haven't really had my life changed. I haven't stood in the presence of God long enough for him to show me that I'm pure now and I can do what he wants. If that's you, come, and for the next few moments, we'll just worship the Lord together, okay?